I eschew Nightwing for Anne. The morning sun illuminates the musty chapel's stained glass windows. It shows the coating of grime on the angels and lends a fierce brightness to the bizarre panel of a lone warrior angel beside a severed Gorgon's head. We bow our heads for prayer. We sing a hymn. And in the end, our French teacher, Mademoiselle Lafarge, reads a poem from William Blake. And did those feet in ancient time walk upon England's mountains green? And was the holy Lamb of God on England's pleasant pastures seen? Will this be my life forevermore? Careful tea parties and the quiet fear that I don't belong, that I'm a fraud. I held magic in my hands. I tasted freedom in a land where summer doesn't end. I outsmarted the Rakshana with a boy whose kiss I still feel somehow. Was it all for naught? I'd rather not have known any of it than have it snatched away after a taste. With tears threatening, I fixed my attention upon the stained glass and the odd mixture of dangerous angels and uncertain warriors to keep my composure. Mademoiselle Lafarge fills the chapel with Mr. Blake's lofty words. And did the countenance divine shine forth upon our clouded hills? And was Jerusalem builded here among these dark satanic mills? Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Several of the younger girls titter at desire, and Lafarge must wait for silence before continuing. Bring me my spear, O clouds unfold! Bring me my chariot of fire! I will not cease from mental fight, nor shall my sword sleep in my hand, till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land. Lafarge leaves the pulpit, and Mrs. Nightwing takes her place there.
Thank you, Miss Lafarge, for that. Most stirring. The poem reminds us that greatness lies even in the smallest of moments, in the humblest of hearts, and we shall, each of us, be called to greatness. Whether we shall rise to meet it or let it slip away is the challenge put before us all.
Her eyes sweep the room and seem to rest on every girl, bequeathing each of us with an unseen mantle. My earlier urge to giggle vanishes, and a heaviness settles over me like a late spring snow.
April is nearly upon us, May beckons, and for some of our girls the time will soon come to leave us.
Beside me, Anne rubs absently at the scars on her arm. I put my hand in hers.
Every year we host a small tea to honour our graduates. This year we shall not.
A low rumble of shock reverberates in the small chapel. The girls lose their grins. Elizabeth looks as if she might cry.
Oh, no!
She wouldn't dare, Cecily whispers, horrified.
Would she?
Quiet, please!
Mrs. Nightwing's words echo.
It is my great pleasure to tell you that this year we shall not host a tea, but rather a ball.
A surge of excitement ripples through the girls from pew to pew. A ball!
It is to be a masked ball, a jolly spectacle of costume, held on May Day for patrons and parents. No doubt you have already begun to dream of fairy wings and noble Indian princesses. Perhaps there will be among you a pirate or Nefertiti or a stately Queen Mab.
Another ripple of girlish exhilaration disturbs the calm of the chapel.
I shall make a splendid Queen Mab, Felicity says. Don't you think?
Cecily's outraged.
Why, Felicity Worthington, that was to be my costume.
Not any more it isn't. I thought of it first.
How could you have thought of it first when I did?
Ladies, grace, strength, beauty,
Mrs. Nightwing shouts over the din, reminding us of the Spence motto as well as our manners. We settle like a flower garden after a sudden tempest of wind.
I've another surprise. As you know, our Miss McCleavy has been away these months attending to urgent personal matters. I am pleased to say that her obligations elsewhere are at an end, and she will be returning to us soon. I've a letter which I shall read aloud.
She clears her throat.
Dear ladies of Spence, I do hope this letter finds you well. Spring should be shining on our dear school. It must be a lovely sight, and I hope to enjoy it soon. Mrs. Nightwing has asked if I might permanently accept the position vacated by Miss Moore, and I am happy to say that I have accepted. It was not my intention to stay on at Spence, but it seems I am needed there, and I go wherever duty calls. It is my fervent hope to see you all by month's end. Until then, I wish you well with your studies, and the best of luck with the porridge.